You're listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM. I'm Couture from University City High School.
And I'm Greg from Masterman High School. The Student Union is a youth-led organization working to build student leadership and create an education system that serves to liberate young people.
We believe that media is a powerful organizing tool, and we're using radio to help young people make their voices heard.
We broadcast live every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. on WPEB 88.1 FM in West Philadelphia. But you can also get the show in individual segments from our podcast page online at www.onblast.podomatic.com. We'll also hear a piece about how Student Union has influenced people.
Today we'll hear a story about the ways in which AP classes serve to further separate students. And we have a report from a West Philadelphia High School student on the school groundbreaking ceremony for their new building, as well as the background on the work it took to get the district to agree to investing in the new site. We'll also hear music and other news from PSU.
Stay tuned for more On Blast after this short music break. Azim is here with some news about mandatory graduation exams in Pennsylvania.
On October 22nd, a state review board approved the plan to implement exit exams for high school seniors. This means that within the next few years, in order for students to graduate, they will have to pass at least 6 subject-specific exams. The idea behind it is that currently students are graduating without the skills they need to find a place in the workforce or do well in college. And the best way to make sure people have those skills is to test them. The governor has long supported the plan, but until recently, he has been met with strong resistance in the state legislature. However, the legislature agreed to the plan, and this approval by the review board was the last obstacle to implementation. Districts will be allowed to vote on whether or not to give the state-developed tests. But if they choose not, they will be forced to implement their own examinations out of pocket. The Keystone exams, is what they're being called, will cost $176 million to create and put into action through 2015, and will cost $31 million each year after that. The state will also develop a curriculum to go with the exams.
The logic behind these tests is questionable at best. Proponents claim that they are good because they will make sure that students are getting a qualified education. But as No Child Left Behind has proven, more tests do not translate into a better education. The Keystone exams will only tell us what we already know, that there are serious inequalities and failings in our school systems. More than that, they will punish the students who are the victims of the system. Instead of putting more resources into the places that we already know need them, this plan will put hundreds of millions of dollars into what amounts of denying poor and minority students diplomas.
So, my whole thing about the whole test is that it's really unfair. And, like, instead of, like, it's costing all this money just to make the test. Why don't we take this money and actually use it to, you know, better fund our schools and give our schools what they need so that we don't have to, you know, make them take a test for it. We can just, if we spend it the right way, we're investing in our students so that they go into college, they actually, you know, they earn their way into college.
Asking for so-called tougher standards does not help students, and neither does more test prep. Students aren't asking for more tests. What we're asking for are the resources and the education we need to be critical thinkers and leaders in our communities. Up next, a story produced by Katora Bailey and Zakia Royster.
Hi, I'm Couture Belly with the Philadelphia Student Union, and I interviewed Shanira Curry Scott and Othella Stanback on how they felt about AP classes. Because the world is not only segregated by race, it is segregated by education. So, Shanira, how did you come across AP classes?
When I first came to University City High School, I didn't have any AP classes. They told me that I should take AP classes. AP classes, there are not a lot of people in there, so you'll get some of the work done. As far as having like an academic classes or a merit classes, there's a whole lot of people in there. You don't get any work done. So it's better to have AP classes than academic.
You just listened to one of the few students who have AP classes in my school. And next we have a student in the same school with a different circumstance. So, Othella, do you have any AP classes? Because I know that you're a freshman.
No. Actually, that was like, you're going to be in ninth grade academy. I didn't even know what that was. My sister was like, ninth grade academy is for the students who, like, the dumb students, which actually, like, the less advanced students, as I put it.
As you just listened to, the student kept saying dumb. Why would she refer to herself and students as dumb? That piece is an example of internal oppression. When a student is constantly downgraded by the teacher, they start to believe it themselves. So, do you feel that there is a difference in the supplies in AP classes and in regular classes? So, Shanira, how are your books?
And they're not all torn up. They're like brand new books.
So, Othella, how do you feel about your supplies in your classes compared to an AP class supplies?
Since they're in AP, and I have torn up book without pages that I'm supposed to be working on.
This is true. AP classes have more resources, but why? And most public schools are underfunded. And now we have Othella and what she thinks is the reason.
I feel as though that they just want to be setting us in categories as the smarter students and the dumber students so they can see which one needs more funding and which one doesn't need more funding, as it should be equal to all classes having funding.
And now here is Othella representing herself and other students who didn't have a chance to have AP classes but would like one.
The class I'm in now, like, it's no challenge, so I basically just don't want to go there because it's like no challenge and stuff. But like, if they don't give me a chance to be in AP class, how do they know if I'm smart enough to do the work that's in AP class? What if I just don't understand the work as lower because it's too easy for me when I need an actual challenge?
So what we learned from this piece is that AP classes and regular classes have different resources, but AP classes have more resources. Not only by books, but classroom size. It is easier for teachers to focus on students. In a non-AP class, students might feel as though they don't get enough attention. Therefore, they can't do their work that they need help with. I feel as though students should all have equal education. There shouldn't be a setting where some students are being treated better than others, because that is how students are segregated.
So, I just wanted to put out there that the previous story we played was produced by Keturah Bailey and Zakiya Royster.
Neil Azim's going to have a report from the groundbreaking for the new West Philadelphia High School. Azim, can you tell us about the groundbreaking ceremony?
So it was a really big ceremony. I mean, it's because of the new West building that students, especially in Student Union and our community partners, have fought for a really long time.
Why was this groundbreaking important for PSU?
It was important because a lot of members, including myself, put in a lot of time and hard work, and we met with a lot of people to really make sure that this new West would be very productive for the students, because we know that it's not because our students can't perform. It's because our students need the right, they need the right environment to do their best in. And, yeah, I mean, it's really, really cool.
How does the groundbreaking relate to PSU's campaign at West?
I think it's related to our school funding campaign because it took a lot of funding to, you know, it takes a lot of funding to build a new school. And this school is going to be state of the art. It's going to have state of the art things in there that students need to learn, probably like smart boards and things like that. Well, that's nice. The phone is ringing. But now I kind of lost. Okay. But the cool thing about the groundbreaking, and it relates to PSU's campaign at West, because our school funding campaign really promotes, like, you know, like the materials that students need to perform best at schools. And we did a lot of research on what it takes to have a school that, that, you know, that's really successful. Like, we looked at a school in the Bronx where the structure of this, we believe that the structure of the school has a major effect on the students at the school. So we have the structure of this school is gonna be built as multiple academies in one building, which is really cool. And it's really cool.
What do you hope the new school will be like? Do you want to see changes in how the school operates?
I think the really cool thing about this new school is that I think it will operate a lot better, hopefully, in the future with the right, the right teachers and, you know, if students aren't getting tested so that they can graduate high school, things like that aren't in place. But because we know that our students can perform well at West, we actually have a lot of organized students at West doing things like can drives and things like that. So, I mean, that's really cool. But the cool thing about this small school that makes me happy is that I feel like getting rid of the old building is kind of getting rid of all the, like, bad history that goes with it, and we can start fresh with a really good school.
Can you explain more about the small school model that you and the other PSU members have been pushing for?
As I said before, it's going to be multiple academies in one big school. So the cool thing about that is students have probably multiple administrative powers in a school, like principals, but they'll all be running as one school. So, and there'll be a lot more counselors, which means that students, you know, the communities are kind of smaller, where like our learning environment is smaller, but our actual social environment is a lot bigger, and a lot of students actually need that to succeed. So that's really cool.
Thanks for that report back. Now we'll play a song.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh.
Born to a throne, stronger than Rome, but violent prone, poor people's own. But it's my home, all I have known, where I got grown, streets we would roam, out of the darkness, I came the farthest, among the hardest survival. Learn from these streets, it can be bleak, accept no defeat, surrender, retreat.
So we struggling,
fighting to eat,
and we wondering,
when we'll be free. So we patiently wait, for that fateful day, it's not far. But for now we say,
when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh.
So many wars, settling scores, bringing us promises, leaving us poor. I heard them say, love is the way, love is the answer. That's what they say, but look how they treat us.
Let's hear some news about education in Philly.
A major part of the school district's Imagine 2014 plan is the Renaissance Schools reform model. Since the plan was approved, it has been unclear exactly what the Renaissance Schools process would look like, but the group charged with figuring out how it will work has recently come out with their recommendations. The group is led by Leroy Nunnery, a former head of Edison Schools, a company that in 2001 was at the head of the drive to privatize the Philadelphia public education system. The plan, as it stands now, looks like this. A group of schools will be chosen to be potential Renaissance schools, and requests will go out for organizations seeking to take over these schools. Next, a final list of schools will come out, and community advisory groups will be pulled together at each school to make recommendations about what should happen. The groups will not actually have decision-making power. They will only be able to make recommendations. The plan calls for community engagement to play a major role, and although the feedback sessions have already been completed, there are still ways for community members to influence the plan. On November 18th, the recommendations will be officially voted on at a school reform commission meeting, which will be open for public comment by those who call in to testify before 4:30 p.m. the night before. Also, once the list of Renaissance schools has been announced, we will encourage members of the communities around these schools to make their voices heard about what they think their schools need. It is our hope that the district is sincere in saying that it wants strong community involvement. But we have heard that language before and have been disappointed by the results, to say the least. We will hold the district accountable to engaging communities in decisions that affect them, and will also work hard to organize these communities to ensure that their voices are respected.
Now we're going to hear a piece about how PSU has affected people.
Members of PSU have had a life-changing experience when they became involved with this youth-led organization. This piece will give us the point of view of these members themselves.
Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly with his
song. Cool. I heard about it when Eric Braxton, who was the former director of Philadelphia Student Union, came to my classroom in my ninth grade year and facilitated an activity which was kind of like Step Into the Circle meets The Great Wind Blows.
What made me interested in PSU is that one day Student Union did a presentation in my Spanish class where they talked about the fact that my school hasn't had a library since 2 years and I really like to read, so that's what actually got me wanting to do PSU and being a part of PSU.
PSU has helped me in like so many ways. I've made a lot of like lifelong friends in the organization that I'm going to never forget. I've had experiences I'll never forget.
Once I actually joined PSU and I learned all about all the other things that's happened in our school district, I just got more and more involved and more into the type of change that I wanted to see happen.
So I think new members will again have the same, I wouldn't say the same exact experience as me, but close to the experience of coming to the realization of the struggles that you go through in life is not just about you. Like, if you're being mistreated by security guards in your school, it's 9 times out of 10 there's other students that are mistreated by security guards in your school. If you're walking around your neighborhood and you're seeing poverty in its rawest form, 9 times out of 10 in another neighborhood, a student is experiencing the same thing.
We went on this trip to West Virginia, and it was like an immersion trip. We went to West Virginia, New York, and Baltimore. And it was really fun because like, we were like traveling in two 15-passenger vans for a week. And we just learned so much about each other and about different organizations we visited, and it was like a life-changing experience. And also, like, PSU is like, made me realize that I am a leader, and it made me realize that I can do things. Like, I can change stuff, and I am a leader, and I know how to, and I can persuade people to do something or make them see that they can make change too, which is awesome.
The one thing PSU helped me realize is that its students are not the problem in our schools, that it's so much more that revolves around students and our behavior or our education than just students going and learning from a teacher, that it's a curriculum, it's funding, and that it's so much more to the process than just what people think it is. And it helped change me as a person, because now instead of just blaming my teachers for the reason why I don't learn something or I don't get a good grade on a test, I step back and I realize that it's not their fault and that they don't have all the resources they need to teach me effectively, as well as I don't have all the resources I need to just learn.
I stayed because, like, up until that point, I felt like I was just being educated on stuff I would never need. Like, we read Shakespeare, we read about all this other stuff, we did math and everything. Like, it wasn't nothing powerful. It wasn't nothing about organizing. It wasn't nothing about, like, people being liberated. It was more just about you going into a workplace or you going on to the military. So, like, to have an option to actually do something outside of that was great for me.
Well, in terms of, like, outside the organization, PSU has helped me a lot in terms of, like, school, because I wrote my college essay about PSU. I talk about PSU all the time to people.
PSU impacted my life because PSU gave me a sense of accountability. I realized that I'm part of a larger group and a larger movement now, so things I probably would have normally did before I joined PSU, I stop and I think now, like, how does this affect other people instead of just me? And if I act in a negative way, who else could this possibly hurt instead of just, you know, my own benefit? Well, who else will be damaged by this instead of just the consequences I would have to face? So it made me accountable to the fact that things I do just don't revolve around me, that they also impact other people and other organizations.
Do you think a new member would be able to relate to you as a person?
Yeah, I believe a new member could relate to me because even when we have conversations with new people that I meet all the time, we always find something in common and we always find something that connects us together. And it just may be that where that new member is, I was at one point, and I could help them or show them how I came out of it or how I grew and how I became more mature through PSU. So that could help influence them or help them help become a role model for them. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I think what Student Union does is it allows a place for people to come to those realizations. Like, before I came here, I didn't know anyone from Center City that grew up in Center City or grew out in Mount Airy or anything. I only knew people from the four Phillies, if you will, the West Philly, South Philly, North Philly, Southwest, or whatever. So, like, when I finally started meeting these different people and, like, these cultures and these different opinions started to come together, then I came to the realization, like, it's bigger than me and it's more about the work that we do. So I think that alone is a powerful way to relate people to each other. I think it's less about relating to me and more about relating to the work that we do. I wouldn't say PSU impacts my life. I would say PSU is my life. Because, like, when I first joined, like, I started consuming a lot of the information until it just became a part on the way I talked, the way I walked, the way I ate food. Everything was just, like, walking around with a critical eye. Something I might have looked at is, like, a whole new light. Until it came a part where it's just like this is my life. This isn't an activity I just do after school. It's not an after-school program. It's none of that. It is my life. So I guess that impact would be changing me. Well, not changing me, helping me to see what the possibilities it was out there for me.
These were some of the voices of dedicated PSU members. If you are a high school student who wants to be involved, you can come to our weekly Saturday meetings, which starts at 1 p.m. We also have open mics the third Friday of every month. Saturday meetings and open mics will be located at the PSU office, which is at 4205 Chestnut Street. This piece was produced by Dylan Washington and Kimora Carter for On Blast with Philadelphia Student Union.
We just heard a piece about how PSU affects students.
Now we're going to hear a song breakdown of One More Drink. In our song breakdowns, we analyze what message artists are really sending to young people in popular songs.
What's up, West Philly?
And all our listeners.
You are now listening to the wonderful gems of Philly Student Union.
I'm Candace.
And I'm Zakia. And this is On Blast Radio. We are now about to have a discussion about
One More Drink and all the things that it leads to.
Now, before we get into playing the song, Candace, how did you feel about the song before you listened to the lyrics?
And before I actually listened to the lyrics, I didn't really notice what it was talking about. I thought it was a nice beat, you know, nice song, you know, One More Drink, drinking alcohol. You know, it's something that it relates to a lot of things that young kids do today. And, you know, that's why it's real catchy. Nobody really listens to the actual things that he says. How about you?
I felt that it was a nice party song. It was something that, you know, everybody listened to, everybody did. It wasn't a big deal about it until I actually just sat there and just really listened to the song breakdown. But that's when I realized it was, you know, exploiting other people.
And here's One More Drink by Ludacris.
It was Friday night and I was feeling aight. Yep. Downtown Atlanta, big city, bright lights. Mixing Henny with the Sprite while I'm drinking and driving. No police lights, no police sirens. I'm headed to the club, looking for a freak. To spread a little love and spread a couple cheeks. Pull up to the spot, 26 is like, bam. Eyes on me like, do you see him? Stroll through the front door, headed to the VIP. Bought a couple bottles and I took a couple sips. Scoping out the room and what do I see? A nice round butt and a pair of double D's. So I crept up like Shawty, what's happening? You killing that dress and I love it with a passion. Then she turned around and her face was aight. She had a gap tooth and a mean overbite. But I was like, she started looking better every shot of Patron. Yep, I jumped up with a devilish grin, cause tonight, damn right, I might do it again. So I called up the homies, let's ride, we can hit the sports bar over on the south side. Get a couple of Coronas, couple of limes. Yep. Went up to the bar and saw a couple of dimes. So I slowly walked up and said, hi, my name's Ludacris and I'm a hell of a guy. One said, I know who you are, I'm your number one fan. And right now it's too bad I got a man. And I said, I understand. But where the hell is he at? Cause in a minute if he don't show up, then man. Grab the camera phone and take a bunch of drunk pictures. Cause Hennessy mixed with a whole bunch of equals you mixed with a whole bunch of looters. And you know how far one drink could go. Start slurring my speech, slowing up the flow. Hiking up your skirts, climbing up your shirt. It's Mr. Late Night Looter and I like to flirt. So guess what, baby girl?
Take one more drink.
Hey.
I'm gonna end up with you.
Who
listening to the song, here are some of the main points that we noticed. That he said you should drink and drive. Drinking is good and it helps you meet girls. You should go up to every girl you see and tell them that you want to have sex with them. That every relationship needs to be sexually initiated by the man. All about what he wants to do. And sex equals life.
I also noticed by listening to the song that a man's insecurities will make him do things like get a woman drunk just so he could be with her because he doesn't know how to talk to her.
Also, yeah, like, even with dealing with a man and his insecurities, like, young boys just hearing this song and thinking that, you know, because a rapper is saying it's okay to get women drunk and to sleep with them, that's also how a lot of date rape happens and causes, because young boys think that, oh, I can't be with this girl while she's sober, so they end up getting her drunk or putting things in her drink, and which that's rape, because if you're so drunk that you can't consent, you won't be able to consent to anything, so... You know, that's a really big point and big issue that's happening now in Philadelphia in the United States.
Speaking of big teen issues, another point you made was drinking and driving. And according to the Center of Disease Control in 2004, 4,767 teenagers died from fatal car crash injuries due to, you know, DUI. When teens go out and drink and drive and they get in the car accidents, they, you know, kill a couple people or injure themselves. It kind of makes it harder for, you know, people like me, people who are focused, you know, kids who are, like, not trying to drink and drive, you know, get their license and, you know, be responsible and, you know, be looked at by adults as, you know, responsible young people, responsible adults.
As I was listening to the song, it was just like he was, I just pointed out something. Even if you've seen the video, you notice that when he first seen the girl, before he took that one more drink, she was ugly to him. Like, in his eyes, she was not beautiful. She was ugly. But it took for him to get intoxicated to the point where he didn't. And then even when you seen it, he seen a totally different girl. Like, somebody he didn't even so see like, the same person.
Wasn't even what she looked like.
And like, I thought, yeah, like, how even being a girl, and yes, before I actually, like, listened to the words and, like, took in perspective what he was saying, I liked it. But yeah. How do you still dance in, like, something like that when you realize, like, even at the end when he says people are too picky, but you just said
drink, like take one more drink, yeah. And she's beautiful. Like, don't be picky. Like, if she ugly, if you like her, that's that. Like, don't say alcohol is gonna make her pretty and you can have sex with her.
Also, how he stereotyped women, I felt like, because yeah. She went from being a nice sized voluptuous woman to this skinny model with, like, different features and
nice teeth.
It was like, why couldn't she be beautiful just the way she was? Why you couldn't just accept a woman for the way she is? To another viewpoint that we saw was sex equals a life, good time or life. Yes, sex equals a good time. I don't know who made that rule. I don't know who told Ludacris that rule, but I don't think, my opinion, that's not totally true.
Yeah.
I actually think that sex and alcohol, sometimes it could equal confusion. It can bring confusion into a young person's life. Speaking from a teen's perspective, when you drink, sometimes you act in very risky behavior. And you have the time, you don't even remember what you did.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't even remember what kind of time you had. You might have had the best time of your life, but because you were drunk, you didn't even remember. And also, you don't have to get drunk to have a good time. You can be sober and you can do good things and have fun.
And one more thing I also noticed from the song is, you know, that, like, they blame their actions on the women.
Oh my god, isn't because, that horrible?
Because he's just like, be careful what you do. She's not doing anything. You getting drunk because you want to be with her. You can't blame that on her.
I think it's just like a way to do risky things or to do bad behavior and to not have to be accountable for it. Like, be careful what you're going to make me do.
Yeah.
I think we're going to end it on that note. And you have been talking with me. I'm Zakiya.
And Candace.
And we are the Gems of Philly City Union.
Up next, we're going to hear a segment about conscious hip-hop and how it can have a positive impact on students' lives. This next piece was made by Mason Tyre and Candace Carter.
Purple makes me think of hip hop because they both have P's in them.
Dedicate this right here goes out. to my homie with the drink. Nah, I mean, he said, I write.
And this is Mason.
And Candace.
And this is our segment on how hip-hop affects young people during the school year.
My name is Shayla Johnson. I'm a ninth grader. I'm 14 years old, and I attend Archbishop of Pentecost.
My name's Dan Jones. I'm going to be a junior at Masterman, and I've been a member of the student union for about 2 years now.
Okay, well, my name is Fong. I'm with the Philadelphia Student Union. I am a senior at Bodine High School.
I'm Amber, and I go to campus, and I live in Germantown.
So I just want to ask y'all, how does hip-hop music affect y'all during the school year?
I don't really listen to a lot of hip-hop music. The only really music I listen to Lil Wayne. Well, Lupe Fiasco, I really like it, and Kanye West. But I really don't listen to a lot of music, so it really doesn't affect me.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's kind of hard to answer. Well, like the hip-hop that I like to listen to like Lupe Fiasco and like Common and Talib Kweli, and some of the more, I guess you could say, like literary artists, some of the people that seem like they might be a little more well-read or whatever, or they might know a little bit more about culture and about society. And really, if like I got a paper due in a class or something, and like I need some type of inspiration or some type of something, if I can find the right hip hop song, if I can listen to the right artist, it can really give me that kind of like first spark or inspiration to help me start writing.
Nowadays, I really don't want to achieve in school. I just want to drop out sometimes. But when I was younger and I was listening to hip hop that my older brother listened to, like Run DMC and Tupac and stuff, I was listening to that, and that always inspired me in a way.
I mean, I had like A's and B's when I was younger. Now look at me,
I've kind of dropped in a way and stuff like that. Why should I be in school? Why should I be, you know, achieving? Why should I stay in school, you know?
The music, like the mainstream hip hop that I hear, it's kind of a downer. I feel like mainstream is a lot more, it encourages people to kind of steer away from education. It's more about other things that aren't as important as, you know, focusing on your schoolwork and learning and progressing the way you want to, like actually finding goals. I think that the most important thing about education is like having the time to figure out what your goals are, and I don't think like mainstream really enforces it. But I think if you listen to more conscious hip-hop, like, I don't know, like Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Erykah Badu, that's the kind of hip-hop I like. I think that that music is a lot more empowering and a lot more about like about something, and when I listen to that helps me like focus. And like, you might go crazy with all the schoolwork and everything, but when you listen to something that is encouraging you to like do good in the world and look for problems and ask questions, that like makes you realize how your education is important and it can move you forward.
As a result, we realized that more conscious hip-hop artists make it easier for students to stay focused and motivated in school.
Hip-hop, you say, bye-bye.
Up next is a song.
Peace to all the hip cats and the nappy sweets. This is the Brother Question broadcasting live via satellite from the Never Never Tunnels. Nade, the rituals for today is good music. So sit back, relax, and dig the groove.
The ones that I dig hip-hop and rocks to hip-hop. Not R&B, because to me that's not my styling. The all double O quotes ain't for radio, but major, so the ones that's hip won't change the dialing. I remember one morning in the soul shack, cooling in the outback on a songwriting chip. Blizzard fired off a Bob Marley spliff on a cloud. I be relaxing on the last night and shit. It's studio today, but hey, Brother Question was on the west side asleep without a clue when I hollered down at Crumbs to pick up the phone and tell him to get ready.
Question, what you doing?
Yeah, bought a chicken wing, so I met him in the west, where we had to lax and wait for Rubber Band and Bessie broke down on the other side of town. Yo, you know what it's about, the roots is out.
the subway.
Anybody like real music, sweet music, soul music? You know the roots is a group that I choose it just to use it to make you move it. Yeah, does anybody like real music, sweet music, soul music? You know the roots is a group that I choose it just to use it to make you move it.
From the subway to the studio, got to break fast if we wanna get to the bus. Running like a Mex from the border.
Was it a bunch of us?
Nah, just the four of us. Enough nappy sweets on the transit, too fine. 4-5, 4-5. A girl says, yeah, hey, try the square roots, and I'm like, what? But it was a fourth class design. Now we got to make our exit to the pavement, crushing trail mix.
Yo, look out.
Say what?
Look out.
Question, drop the whole bag of drumsticks.
Been no fun.
A chicken wing, so he bends down to pick up the sticks and his pants fall down. In my face, question didn't frown. Turned around and found he felt the draft, so I laughed.
Does anybody like real music, sweet music, soul music? You know the roots is the group that I choose it just to use it to make you move it. Yeah, does anybody like real music, sweet music, soul music? You know the roots is the group that I choose it just to use it to make you move it.
Comes the crumbs from the chums of the P.O. Sprouted from the roots and now it's added to the trio. Now I'm in cahoots and got a reason for my ego. And the words are Los Lobos, adios amigo.
At the Rat Cave, mic in hand, I'm flowing. Telling question to keep it going. What I'm doing, I'm not really knowing. But to me, see, it sounds hoeing.
Okay.
K-ing, laying, to the sounds playing. I'm hot a hoeing, hey. Yeah, hater haying. Tripping, I'm trying not to laugh. Busted, it's the last paragraph and I'm done half. But questions joking, and I'm like hoping that nobody comes in and opens the door. Does anybody like real music, sweet music, soul music? You know the roots is a group that I choose it just to use it to make you move it. Does anybody like real music, sweet music, soul music? It's a group you gotta choose it just to use it to make you move.
On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM. You can also listen to the show online, including past shows, by going on our podcast at www.onblast.podomatic.com.
Thanks for tuning in to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. In addition to our radio show, we also do ongoing campaigns to improve our school, monthly open mics, men's and women's support groups, academic support, political education, and lots of other youth-led activities.
If you want more info about the Philadelphia Student Union, check out our website at www.phillystudentunion.org or email us at info@phillystudentunion.org. You can also find us on Facebook and MySpace. Send your comments or questions about the radio show to onblast@phillystudentunion.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Tune in next week, Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., for the next edition of On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union.